Well, in my last sermonette, we focused on Lydia, and we saw how a faithful person who was receptive to Paul's message went on to sponsor and help the early spread of Christianity. Today, we're going to look at the opposite side of that coin. We'll look at what happened when Paul and his companions encountered opposition to the gospel, and how God worked to spread his truth in the face of that opposition. So to see this, we're going to turn to Acts 13, and we'll look at the account of when Paul went up against Elymas, the sorcerer. So let's turn to Acts 13, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, Acts 13, verse 1, "Now in the church that was at Antioch," and this was their base of operations at the time, "there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." It says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Verse 3, "Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." So, says in verse 4, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." And some quick background here, of course, this was Barnabas and Saul, as we heard, and Barnabas was actually a Levite from Cyprus. So this was a homecoming for him. He knew the lay of the land and the way things worked in Cyprus, so I'm sure he was guiding his companions on their journey. In verse 5, it says, "When they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." And it says they also had John as their assistant. And this John is John Mark. John Mark was Barnabas' cousin and also played a big role in spreading the book of Acts. But he was junior to Paul and Barnabas, but he's there assisting them. And in verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone through the land to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man." And proconsul is a title that basically means governor, so he was essentially the governor of Cyprus. And it says, "This man, Sergius Paulus, called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God." In verse 8, "But Elymas the sorcerer," for so his name is translated, "withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith." So let's talk about this character, Elymas. And we've read that he is known by two different names, Elymas and Bar-Jesus. And Bar-Jesus means son of Jesus. So he was the son of someone who was named Jesus or Yeshua, which of course means God saves or Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Because of his name, there's this obvious tension and comparison between Jesus the Messiah and this sorcerer who bears the same name. And we'll see that Paul plays with that momentarily. And we also see about Elymas that he's a sorcerer. And sorcerers, or magi, studied the occult and practiced divination. And what they would do is they would claim false religious authority and hidden spiritual insight, and they would use that to manipulate people and become kind of court mystics or advisors. There are also, for background, there are two named sorcerers in the book of Acts. The first is Simon Magus, and that's in Acts 8, when Simon attempts to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we have Elymas. And like Simon Magus, Elymas seems power hungry, right? He's worked his way into power, serving as a chief advisor to the proconsul. And we can almost picture him, as we read this story, whispering into the proconsul's ears as the scene unfolds. Elymas here is defending his turf, urging Sergius Paulus to not believe the gospel. And in doing so, he's acting directly in opposition to God's purpose. Continue on in verse 9. It says, "Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him." And the word for "looked intently at" in the Greek is atenizo. And this word atenizo is used 12 times by the author of Acts, who is Luke, between the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And he always uses this word in pivotal situations. This word atenizo is used to describe the look that Paul gives on three different occasions. And it's always every time when Paul gives this look, it's when he's applying discernment to a situation. For example, he gives this look when he looks at a paralyzed man and determines that he has faith and then heals him. And when Paul is later before the Sanhedrin, he looks intently at the Sanhedrin, atenizo, before launching into a defense of himself and the gospel. And so Paul looks intently at Elymas and he says, "O, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed," Paul says, "the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." It says, "And immediately a dark mist fell on him," on Elymas, "and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed, when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." Now there's huge biblical irony in Elymas's fate here. Elymas bared a name tied to salvation, but opposed the message of salvation. So Paul calls the son of Jesus a son of the devil. Elymas claimed spiritual insight, but becomes physically blind. And he was trying to lead others astray, but now he must be led himself, led by the hand. It says the proconsul saw and believed. So what does this story show us about truth and deception when the gospel is opposed? We'll take 3 points from this story with our remaining time. Point number one will be God grants true discernment through his Spirit. Point number two is that intention is made known by fruit. And point number three is that God acts decisively against opposition. So point number one is that God grants discernment through his Spirit. Now in the first few verses of chapter 13, we read that Paul and Barnabas were considered teachers and true prophets. God spoke to them through the Holy Spirit when he was sending them on this mission, and they had hands laid on them right before they set off. True spiritual discernment comes from the Holy Spirit, and only from the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. It's 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. And we'll start halfway through that verse. It says, "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." And down in verse 14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." In Cyprus, Paul and his companions were meeting with very smart men. Acts calls Sergius Paulus very intelligent. And Elymas, likewise, had to have been very intelligent. He had worked himself into this elite class, into a very important advisory position. But that intelligence only goes so far. In verse 9 of Acts 13, it says that Paul was full of the Holy Spirit when he looked intently at Elymas and launched into his defense. It's only the Holy Spirit that reveals truth and enables discernment. Point number two today is that intention is made known by fruit. Let's go to Matthew 7 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 7, actually verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Elymas the magician is identified as a false prophet to the reader right off the bat. But for the proconsul, Elymas was a trusted advisor. and to citizens in Cyprus in that day, he was likely viewed as a very important and wise person. He was in a powerful position and claimed spiritual authority. But fruit reveals what claims cannot. Elymas's actions work directly against God's purpose. When confronted with the truth, Elymas doesn't simply question it or have an honest debate about it. He actively tries to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Jesus Christ made the crooked path straight. Elymas tries to make that path crooked again. His heart is made known by what he produces. And this world is still filled with religious leaders, voices, and influencers. When we judge these individuals and their messages, we too need to apply discernment and look for fruit that shows alignment with God's word and purpose. And our final point today is that God acts decisively against opposition. Elymas is resisting the truth and leading the proconsul astray. In response, Paul declares, "The hand of God is upon you." And Elymas is temporarily blinded, now himself needing to be left by others. This act removes the deception and confirms the truth of Paul's message. The proconsul is freed from deception and able to see clearly. And it says that the proconsul saw what had been done and was astonished. But he actually wasn't astonished by Paul. It says he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. God uses judgment as a means by which his truth can be seen, believed, and carried forward. And this moment echoes Paul's own story. Paul himself once opposed God's own work, and he was temporarily blinded on the road to Damascus and came to see the truth, and then went on to help others see the truth, including the proconsul in this story. In conclusion, in the account of Paul and Elymas, we see God advance his purpose even in the face of opposition. God reveals deception, removes opposition, and brings clarity so that his word can spread. God's purpose does not depend on ideal conditions. And so as we go forward in our own lives, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of God through our words and our example, we can take comfort in knowing that, in the end, God's truth prevails.